Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to pick up where Pastor Sean left off. We're speaking about unity, and Paul's giving us quite a few details, a couple things that basically gives us unity together. So just to let you guys know, some of you aren't in my 10th grade Bible class. I'm Pastor Nate. I'm over the children's ministry at Berean. So I'm dealing with all the little kids. So I'm going to try to bring that level up for you guys. I know you guys don't want me to talk to you like little children. All right, so I'm going to do my best to communicate for each and every one of you. I grew up in northeast Missouri, about north of St. Louis, maybe about an hour and a half north of St. Louis is where I grew up. My grandma, she owned about 600 acres, so I got to run, I got to fish, I failed a lot of hay, a lot of summers, I ran, I played in the creek. I had a pretty good life growing up, I think. But basically, with that, I'm very different than some of you. In turn, some of you grew up a lot different. Some of you are even from a different state than North Carolina or Missouri. But some of you are even completely different cultures and societies because you are an international student. Okay, I went to PCC for 3 years, and I had probably from there about three or four best friends, okay, that I keep in touch with even this day. And the only thing that unifies us, and let me give you their background. One is Dalapo, and he's from Nigeria, okay? Big difference, right? And then I have a friend from Buffalo, New York, okay, Brooks, and I'm a country kid from, you know, Missouri, all right? And then I have another friend from Boston. His name's Adam, just completely different background, Tito, than me, than what I grew up in. And then I have my other friend, Parks, from Arkansas. He was homeschool, and we would always give him a hard time. But his nickname was Optimus Prime. Brian might remember him. He had these long, skinny chicken legs. But his legs literally came up to about my chest, okay? And he was like 6'9", big guy. And it was like from his legs, Jonathan, just this perfect V like this to his shoulders. And that's why he got that name. But completely different backgrounds, right? But what unifies us? And Braden, I'm going to show you or attempt to show you what unifies us is this one faith, one God, one Lord. And Paul's going to address this. And why is he addressing this? He's addressing this because at this time, there's just this explosion. This Christian faith is just growing rapidly. And Nate, it's not just for the Jewish people. There's Gentiles. So Gentiles, these Romans, these Greeks, okay, they're getting saved. And so Paul's addressing this, we should be unified because the Jews are going, can we serve with each other? Or, you know, are we supposed to have different churches? Or are we one body? Like, what's up? Or because we're the Jews, right? We're not Gentiles. And so Paul's addressing this and saying there's one body in Christ. Okay, you following? So let's look at the text. Let's read together verses 1, and I think we'll probably stop after verse 7. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Okay, Pastor Sean spent a lot of time just going over the call and then your calling. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Okay, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Not peach. Okay, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I first just want to point out the attitude of Paul. Okay, the pastor hit this, but I want to take you to Romans 1, verses 14 and 15 real quick. So go to Romans 1, right after Acts, or after the Gospels, the four Gospels. Romans chapter 1, and this is Paul's attitude. Okay, this goes back to the humility that Paul had because of the grace of God. This idea, that he's not deserving of this grace, but that now that he's received it, this is his attitude. Chapter 1 of Romans, we'll read verse 14. I am under obligation. I'm a debtor. I'm in debt. Both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel. Let's just stop right there. Because of God's grace, in this humility that I have, because I didn't do anything to deserve it, I am in debt. Okay, this idea that he's serving the body. Like, he's wanting you to accept the Lord, the faith, the Spirit as well, the baptism. So let's briefly go over these few things, okay? I'm going to pray, and then we'll get going. Lord, just thank you for this awesome text. Help me to communicate. Help me, Lord, I tend to get tied to my notes, and Lord, I pray that I would just not do that, and that I would work on communicating and connecting with the students. Help me to apply truth and do my very best to give them this truth for the short minutes that we have together. Lord, we love you and thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So go to verse 4, back at Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, there is one body. So I briefly want to go through these ones that he addresses. So one body. Okay, Jerry, what is this one body that he's speaking of? Okay, is it the Baptist Church? Is it BBC or BBA only? Okay, little participation, head nod, something. Do you guys think it's just this one church? This one body that he's speaking of? Okay, denomination. How many denominations do we have in here? Is it just Baptist? I doubt it, right? Okay, if you are a Christian, the things that I'm going to give you are essentials. You realize this, right? So it doesn't matter if you're Baptist, okay, Pentecostal, holiness, whatever. I'm telling you, as a believer in Christ, these are essentials. Like, we don't disagree on these things. Like, there's no leeway of opinion. Okay, if there's more than one Savior, then that's a big problem. And Paul's addressing this. He's all concerned about unity, and he's giving us these foundations to help with our unity. Okay, that this unity you and I can have because we have one Lord, one faith, one body. So what's this one body? Okay, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, 18. It says that he, who's he? Christ is the head of the body, the church. Okay, Christ is the head because of what he has done. And those who follow him put their faith and belief in him, the personal work of Christ, are a part of that body. Ivan, doesn't matter our background, doesn't matter where we come from, the fact is you're a part of this body when you believe the gospel. Okay, that's the body. Okay, what's the one Spirit? Go back to our passage in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. The next one he goes over. There's one body, and now he says one Spirit. Okay, so Caleb, what's this one Spirit? Can you tell me? One Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit. Ephesians 2, 18 through 19 tells us that this Spirit gives us access to God. Acts 2, 32 through 33 says that this Spirit has come and it's here. That you need to experience this Spirit to be part of what? The body. The one body in Christ. Meaning, Andy, I need the Spirit to be a part of the body. Understand? Like, if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I'm not a part of the body. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 says that it enables us to benefit the body. Okay, so we have this fact that the Spirit helps us, enables us to benefit each other, Lewis, in Christ. Okay, and it's just like this. If you have a team, a basketball team, if they don't work together, they don't have one goal in mind, okay, maybe to win the basketball game, Jonathan, how successful will they be? Okay, usually you need to find what your role on the team. Like, usually there's a scorer. Okay, there's somebody over here that's a really good ball handler. Then you usually have guys, Daniel, that just pounds the glass, meaning they get rebounds, they give it back to our ball handlers. Okay, you have usually a defensive stopper, Robert, you know this, right? And so this idea that these different people bring and benefit the body. Okay, going back to the body, Paul addresses that each and every one of us are members of this body and we bring different things. And he uses the example, Derek, that you might be the eye and I'm the ear. Okay, or that one of you, you're the hand and you're the arm, and together we create what? The body. We have different functions. Okay, Brian, you and I have different strengths and weaknesses. Okay, but we together, this unity, remember this is what this is about, the unity under Christ that Paul's talking about, the unity we can have will benefit the whole body. Okay, so that's the Spirit. Okay, you're not born with the Spirit. Let's make this clear. Okay, Hassan, this is where we have to look at the Christian worldview and accept the truth of the Bible, and all other things are false. Okay, so let me just communicate this. No matter what I think about that passage of Scripture that I read to you, chapter 4 of Ephesians, is true whether or not I like it. Realize that? Okay, it's true whether or not I'm dead. If I die tomorrow, that's still going to be true. Okay, it's true to somebody from Africa. It's true for somebody from Asia. It's true for the North Korean just as much as it's true for the South Korean. Paul's saying this is essential for unification, for the unity of believers. Okay, he also hits on the one hope. 1 Peter 1:3, what's the primary hope we have in Christ? There's several, but I'd say there's a main one. Okay, Our hope is in his resurrection, which means that he has power over what, Jimmy?
Sin.
Okay, sin, death, the grave. Okay? This idea that we have faith and confidence in the resurrection of Christ, which means that I can have confidence, Josh, that he can raise me from the dead. Okay, another hope would be eternal life, right? Like we discussed this a little bit last night, the effects of hell. Tito, I don't want to go there. Okay, so that I have hope and confidence or trust in Christ that I won't go to hell if I believe the gospel. I have faith and confidence in Christ and what he said and what he did. Okay, this Christianity doesn't give you hope through money or success or fame. Our hope as believers is not in this American success story. Breon, if your hope is that you become this Christian in order to gain things and be successful and to thrive with material and money, okay, that's not the hope that Paul is speaking of. One Lord is the next one that he addresses. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says that this Lord is Christ. There's no other Lord. Okay, you can't serve money and God. If you're a servant, Jonathan, you don't get this option of serving this master and this master. You either love the other or love one and hate the other. And so, Jimmy, if we're going to be unified, we are going to have one Lord. We're going to, Andrew, we're going to want to please the same Lord. And to have Jesus as our Lord means it matters what he says for us to do. We have one goal. Our Lord is not, Brandon, our Lord is not sports. Kelton, our Lord is not basketball. Our Lord, guys, listen, our Lord, we shouldn't be concerned about just girls all the time. They're not our Lord. Okay, they're not our master. Some of you somewhat act like that. Okay, but Brandon, our Lord is Jesus Christ. Okay, what about this one faith? Okay, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called, okay, to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So let's look at the one faith. Acts chapter 16, 31 sums it up, and Paul's talking to the Philippian jailer. You guys remember? And he asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" Josh, how did he answer? "Well, you need to pray this or say this. Repeat after me." Did he say that? Okay. Did he say you need to be immersed in the water? I need to baptize you. Okay, what did he say?
Believe.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jimmy, idea that I'm going to place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for me. Okay, John 14, 6 tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ. So this idea, Lewis, is there's no other way. What does the culture tell us? What's the media feeding us? Or politics feeding us? Or the American way feeding us even right now? Nate, what's their answer? Well, there's multiple ways of God. No one can know for sure. Was that Paul's opinion? Okay, it's either true or it's not. If Jesus said, I'm the way, Jimmy, I'm the only way to God. I'm the only way to eternal life. Giovanni, if that's true, then I better believe it. And this is why Paul considers himself a debtor, and he's concerned about giving this truth to everyone and anyone. But if there's multiple ways, Stephen, then Jesus is a liar. And there's no middle ground between these things. You can't have a little bit here and then say, well, the Muslims, they believe. No. I'm sorry, there's only one faith.
Amen.
This faith is not just a head knowledge. Can I tell you that? I'm speaking to different people this morning. Chano, there's people in here that don't believe this. They don't think it's true. Agreed? Okay. And then there's other people who they've grown up with this all their life, and basically this is mom and dad's faith, and I'm here. They kind of have a head knowledge. They don't live it out. It's not important to them, but, I mean, and then there's some of you, like, Josh, this is real. Like, I believe this. Okay, it's not just a head knowledge. You can't be good enough. Josh, you can't be good enough to earn your salvation. Well, I'm a good kid, I'm obedient, and you know, I've grown up in church all my life, my mom and dad, we don't ever. No. You in yourself cannot save yourself. There is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Your belief, trust, faith, whatever word you want to put there, in the person and work of Christ. Okay, so let's go to the next one. One baptism. Okay, what is this one baptism? Matthew, this one baptism isn't the sprinkling as a baby. It's not even the public profession of faith through baptism. Okay, like you know when you go in the water, then you come back up. This is not the baptism Paul's talking about. Okay, so let's look at the Word of God. Matthew 3, verse 11. Matthew 3, verse 11. Okay, this is John the Baptist, and he's basically leading the way for Christ. Okay, he's a front runner, he's preaching, he's preparing the way for the kingdom of heaven. Christ is soon to come, and this is what John the Baptist is saying. I baptize, chapter 3, verse 11, Matthew, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming, who's he who's coming after John the Baptist? It's
Jesus.
Christ. After me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the what? Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. Okay, the Spirit. Okay, remember we already had that one Spirit, the Spirit of God. That basically benefits us in serving the body. It enables us to communicate, have a relationship with God. This is the regeneration. This is the rebirth. This is the born again. Okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you've not been baptized by the Holy Spirit, if you've not been regenerated, okay, if you don't have possession of the Holy Spirit, John, then you're not part of the body. Okay, and lastly, we have the one God. Okay, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There's one God. Some of you in my 10th grade Bible class, remember? We went over the one God principle. Remember, I divided it. I put Allah over here, and then I put Yahweh or our God, Lord Jesus Christ, over here. And I showed you the differences. You guys remember? I'm getting a lot of blank stares. 10th graders, you remember this? Okay? It's a different Bible. You know, different authors. Okay? All right, you're following? Okay, there's one God. 1 Corinthians 12, 5 through 6 tells us that there is a God, and there's no other God. Okay? Isaiah 44, 6 puts it really clear that He's the true God, and there's none but me. And Isaiah is just packed full of, I'm God, nothing else. So if this is true, Hassan, how can we reach God? Well, He gives us the one Spirit, one baptism. Okay, it's through Jesus Christ, the one Lord. Jude 25 says that this God has always been, present, future, He will and continue to be, Tito, the only God. Revelation 4:11 gives Him the responsibility or the credibility that He is the Creator God, above all things, Master of all. Okay, there's none other. Okay, so these truths support the foundation that we are unified because we all believe this. Brayden, you and I go to different churches, correct? But this, what Paul is addressing, is essential for a believer. Yes. It's not changeable. You can't debate this stuff. Okay, it's not Buddha, it's not Allah, they are not the same God. And guys, quite frankly, it's not your opinion that matters either. Because we like to justify how we think, right, Josh? Like, I like to look at the Bible and I'm reading and I'm going, that's not fair. Or I don't like that. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter what I like or what I think because I'm not God. To be a Christian, these things are not gray areas. They're not interchangeable. They cannot change. You cannot believe something else. Some of you are thinking to yourself that is arrogant. Like, it's arrogant of you, Nathan, Pastor Nate, to say that is the only way. Well, I would say to you that if it's true, it's not arrogant. Derek, if what Pastor Sean went over, what Brian will go over here in a little bit, and what I'm telling you right now, if this is true, it's not arrogant. Right, Sam? So if it's true, then I just need to submit to that truth. Some of you are thinking maybe that this is intolerant. Because guys, if you accept what I'm saying, and some of you do, Stephen, if you accept what I just said, the one faith, one baptism, one God, one Lord, one body, okay, the world will not look at you with kindness. I mean, do you realize that in just right now, American Christians are getting persecuted as far as their success and their career by what they believe? Like, just recently, somebody wrote an article defending this faith, and he can't serve in office. Like, they're giving him a hard time. Okay, another person we just did a podcast on a few months ago, okay, was he dealt with health care for a state government. think it was Georgia. Okay, because he professed this truth, he couldn't serve that office. You're intolerant. You can't serve people. I bet each and every one of us would be so very thankful to have an intolerant doctor if we had a cancer or disease that only had one cure. Did you hear what I said? You don't want the doctor, Brooke, you don't want the doctor giving you poison. Meaning if you know that the doctor, Josh, has this one cure and it can solve your problem, can fix the disease or whatever, you want that one cure, right? You don't want him to be tolerant of, well, I mean, I could try this, I could do this. I mean, I don't want to offend him by saying there's only one cure. Okay, we would be thankful for that doctor, right? Just like that, it's not intolerant for us to give. If we know the answer, Brian, Alexis, if we know the answer, it's not intolerant for us to communicate what that truth is. What about ignorance? I've heard this before. Jonathan, somebody's called me ignorant. Like, you're just ignorant. You grew up in Missouri where everybody and their dog is a Christian. You know, they name their pets, their cows, they name them like Bible names. You guys know where I'm coming from, okay? Everybody's a Christian. That's an American thing. Let me just tell you, the smartest man on earth, or no, let's scratch that. Let's say you read 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. Do you know you'll still be ignorant at the end of your life? It means this. Even if I know, let's say I know 10 million facts or things, which I probably don't. Okay. I'm still 100 million facts away from knowing that much of what there is to know. Matthew, it's this idea that I'm ignorant, you're ignorant. But that doesn't mean that this isn't true. Okay, if I'm lost at sea, or let's say I'm lost in the woods, Hassan, if I'm lost in the woods, what do I need to know to get out of the woods? How to get out. Okay, so let's say there's 100 paths in these woods. Huge plot of land. And if I don't know the way out, Gabby, if I don't know the way out, I'm lost. I'm a dead man. Do I need to know every tree in those woods? Like, do I need to know what they're called? Do I need to know what type of rock is in the ground? Do I need to study the types of grass and flowers? And do I need to... Okay, I'm ignorant of what... Oh, I don't know what that tree is. I don't know what it's called. Okay, do I need to know every type of animal in those woods? Caleb, what I need to know is how to save myself from dying. I need a cheeseburger, okay? I need to get to town. I need to get out of the woods. And the only thing that matters to me, Thomas, is which is the right path. If I can just find the right path, Alyssa, I'm golden. I can get out. I can make it. I can live. And Paul is giving us that path. Okay? Pastor Sean communicated that one path. Here's the way. Here's the truth. It's Christ. And in Christ alone. There's none other. Jacqueline, there's no one else. No other religion. Okay, this is true. Okay, I talked to a team just last year, Chris. Chris, just last year I talked to a team. And he said, if what you are telling me is true, then I have family that's going to hell, and I am not going to accept that. You understand what he just said? You understand what was going, what he was processing? I'm just going to avoid that. I don't want to hear it. Okay, because if that is true, then I have unsaved believers, which what the Bible tells me, June, is that that means they're going to hell, that they're damned for eternity without Christ. I can't accept that. Okay, whether he accepts it or not doesn't change whether the fact it is what?
True.
You have a math teacher. It's 2 plus 2 equals
4.
Good job. That was still at that kid level, and you guys responded well. Teacher, I don't accept this. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to process this. Does it change the fact that 2 plus 2 equals
4?
4.
The answer would be no. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change a lick. Okay, it's still true. And I basically had to tell that teenager that same thing. Whether you like it or not, if what I'm saying is true, then that doesn't change the fact. Even if you want to avoid it, put it away, never return to this book or to a church that preaches this book, it's not going to change the fact that that's true. Guys, we're stressing unity. And Derek, the most unifying thing is our faith in Jesus Christ. Because if I have faith in Jesus Christ, Derek, and you have faith in Jesus Christ, our behavior and our attitude, how we handle ourselves at school, at church, with each other, matters. Because he's our Lord. And we have this humility to where what we do, what we say, how we handle ourselves, okay, matters. That verse, iron sharpens iron. Okay. Why would Paul go over these things? The fact is that unity affects impact. Okay, Andrew, if we're not unified as a school, we'll have no impact this year. Taylor, if we as a student body, we as fellow Christians, if we don't have unity, we lose impact. You lose impact in your classroom. You lose impact with your peers. You lose impact with your family. Okay. Guys, and let's be honest here. Computers, phones, they don't really help us unify, do they? Because some of you, you won't, the rest of the year, Stephen, some of you will never talk and hang out with other peers like you will these 3 days. And if you don't hang out like this, like have communication, Josh, you'll never know about each other's life, what we're going through. And when Paul says we're one body, you know, my ear will never benefit the body because I don't even know that you're an eye. It's like this principle as the arm and the leg, and together we can help each other. Together we can be more effective for Christ. And Kelton, if I don't even know you, I don't even know your name, you're a freshman, I'm a senior, okay? If that's your mentality, you're missing out on what could be through Christ. Right? Because apparently, in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13, Paul says that there's many members of this body, and they benefit the whole body. And if that's true, Stephen, then all of us, for believers, we can benefit each other and maximize our effect and impact simply at BBA. and then we could go farther than that. Okay, have you been called? Okay. Do you believe in one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to speak. I know that it's early, and I know that they were jam-packed with activities. But Lord, I pray that they would just apply what they've heard. Lord, I pray for the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray for their attitudes and their behavior during and throughout the preaching of God's Word this week, that they would listen on purpose, and that they would try their very best to apply and challenge themselves to the truths that have been presented. Lord, I pray that we would be unified. That through this faith and through our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Father, our Father, the Father of all and through all, that we would be unified so that we could have an impact. Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to be patient with each other. And help us to be humble for the grace that you've shown for each and every one of us. Lord, help us to believe the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.